Well, we thank the Lord for His goodness and mercy to us. I want to like to look at Ezekiel's vision. I've shared some thoughts out of this before, but I've seen some different things in this. But I'd like to look at Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Ezekiel 37, appreciate your prayers this morning. It said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army." I want to notice this was a hopeless situation. This dry bones, they were very dry. There's no moisture. You know, it's moisture that brings life. And there was no moisture. It said they were just dried bones that were very dry. It looked like there was no hope for these bones. But he prophesied unto them. And I'm encouraged this morning about the power that's in the Word of God. If we share the Word of the Lord, we share Scriptures, there's life, there's power in the Word of God. And we need to apply it to our impossible situation sometimes in life. We need to prophesy. We need to speak the Word of God unto circumstances and situations and hold on to the promises that God has given to us and that He's bestowed upon us. There are a lot of promises that God has given to His Word, and I believe He means to fulfill every promise that He's given. But it was the Word of God. It was the prophecy. It was the life that came upon these dead bones, dried bones, and began. And I thought about this little word here. It said, "He behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were dry." And he prophesied in verse 4 upon these bones and saying to the bones, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And he prophesied and there was a shaking. And the bones started coming together, bone. And I was really blessed with this thought that, you know, there's different times in the Old Testament when the enemy took advantage of the children of Israel, and it used the word, it said they were discomfited. I didn't look that word up. It seems like it's the opposite of comfort, but when they were discomfited, it means that they were scattered. They were in disarray. They lost their rank. They lost the formation. They lost their togetherness, their oneness. They were discomfited. They were scattered. And that's why these bones were. They were scattered, but when he prophesied unto them, things began to move. Things began to change. Bone came to bone, and I believe this morning that God can cause things to come together that weren't there before. They can cause them to something to begin to come together, different things come together that wasn't there before, that gives us an advantage point, that gives us a place to work from, a place to a gathering point, you might say. I believe the Lord can do that for us. He can cause things that look like they're so dislocated. You know, when you've got a dislocated member in your body, it's not very useful. It's not. We know what Brother Dwayne went through with his shoulder. It wasn't a long time healing, and he couldn't hardly use it. It was painful. And that's what dislocation does. When people are dislocated and comforted and discomforted and scattered, it can be in our mind, it can be in our circumstances, and it just looks like, how's this going to work? But you know, the Lord can cause things to start to come together. Little piece here, little piece there. Things start coming together, and it changes. It can change the whole situation, the whole circumstances. Where it looked so hopeless before, now things are starting to change. Things are starting to move. I want to go on and read in the 11th verse. It said, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts." In other words, we're separated. We're scattered. There's not a oneness. There's not a togetherness. And in verse 12, he says, "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." We know this is referring to the return of their captivity. They were scattered. The enemy had come against them and scattered them all over the place. But here the Lord, and they were saying there's no hope. They were saying there's no use. There's no need to try anymore. There's no need to go on. Our hope is lost. This is what God was seeing in the hearts of His people. This is what the Lord saw in the hearts of His people. They felt like a dry bone. And He said, "Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your grave." You know, there's a lot of... I want to go into a little thought now. They were saying, this is what the Lord saw them. It says, These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. You know, the Lord sees what we say in our heart. He sees the thoughts of our heart, the feelings of our heart, the things that are inside in our mind. The Lord had a plan for these people to restore them. We know they went into captivity because of their sin and their disobedience, but now God had prophesied through Jeremiah before they were ever taken captive. He told them, I'm going to bring you again into this land. And somehow they weren't taking hold of that word. They weren't believing and trusting in that word that God had told them 70 years that I'm going to bring you back out. They weren't believing in that. They weren't trusting in it. I think about Sister Maxine testified one time, and she, early in life when she was real young, she had a real battle with depression. And I'm just going to paraphrase what I remember of her testimony. But she had depression, and it was a great problem with her and with her marriage. And she would make the statement different times. She would say, I am so depressed. I am so depressed. And the Lord checked her on that one time. The Lord started talking to her about that, and He wanted her to change what she was saying. You know, to say, I am so depressed, that's a state of being. That's a state, if I remember, I wasn't a great in my English. I think I butchered the King's English more than... But it's a state, there's state of being verbs that are a state of being. They're proclaiming a state. And the Lord told her to say, instead of saying, I am so depressed, to say, I am fighting depression. Now you say, well, what's the difference? There's a big difference. There's a huge difference. I am fighting depression. Number one, that lets us know that we're in a place that God has victory for. I am fighting something. I am battling against something. And just instead of saying I am, is almost like a state of surrender. I am. My bones are dried. They're very dry. I am fighting depression. And you know, the Lord began to help her. It wasn't overnight. But you know, this is what these people were saying. That's what the Lord saw them. That's what the children of Israel were saying. Our bones are dried. It's what they were saying in their heart. The Lord knows what we're saying in our heart. The Lord knows the thoughts of our heart. Whether we speak them or whether we don't, He knows. But many times our heart is seen through the words that we say. And what we say can almost become like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, it can be kind of, we're setting the tone, we're setting the direction, our course, by the words that we say. And the Lord had hope for these people back here in Ezekiel's time. He had a message of hope. And you know, I believe today the Lord wants us to have hope in our heart. I want to get another scripture in the book of Joel. the third chapter. In the ninth verse, it says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Now what's he saying? Does he want us to be dishonest? No. But it's saying, let the weak, a person that is weak, say, I am strong. What's that? I don't believe that's being deceitful. I believe that's a step of faith. Yes. I believe it's a step of faith. I believe it's a holding on to, I am strong through the Lord. I am strong in the power of His might. Not my ability, not my mind, not my strength, not what I can do, but through the Lord. He's saying, let the weak say, I am strong. You know, we've got to be careful what we say in our hearts. We've got to be careful. We want to speak the word of the Lord. We want to have the scriptures. We want to have, and I believe the Holy Spirit is faithful in our lives to bring scriptures to our mind, to help us to fight against the enemy. And it's the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. That's what we fight. We want to prophesy scriptures. We want to use the scriptures in our battle against the powers of darkness, against the things that are set against us, against the things that are hindering us. We want to be able to use the scriptures. And I know we can use scriptures, we can use songs. Sometimes we have to say it over and over and over and over again. But there is power in the Word of God. And it will begin to have an effect. It will begin to happen if we are in the Lord that way. We're fighting the battles of the Lord that way. But the devil this morning wants to steal our hope. He wants to take away the hope that we have, the hope. He mentioned here in the 12th verse back in Ezekiel, he said, I will open up your graves. You know, there's different types of, and this is something I hadn't really considered that much before, but it says, you know, a grave is something that seems dark. It's something that He says, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. He was talking about their captivity. He was talking about their bondage, the things that were holding them. He said, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. You believe the Lord can do that for us today? The graves, the places of captivity that the enemy has had his hand in, that the Lord can open up something and cause us to come out. And He says, bring you into the land of Israel. You know, the Lord had a land for the children of Israel, and He's got some ground for us today. I'm not interested in literal Israel over there. I'm interested in their welfare and their well-being, but I'm not interested in their land. I'm interested in the spiritual land that God has, the places of victory, the places of salvation, the places of deliverance that He has for us today. And He said, verse 13, He said, ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. You'll know that the Lord, you know, these people, I think, let me put my speculation. All these bones, to me it looks like it was probably a battle site where all these valleys were. It was where there was a previous battle, a previous conflict, a previous war. And there was a lot of death there, a lot of graves there. And that's the way I believe today. Sometimes, you know, we fight, we lose a battle. It's like a loss. And maybe we've lost over and over. Maybe we've lost many times. But I'd like to encourage us this morning that God wants us to have hope in our hearts of His salvation. And He can bring us out of the graves, those places that look dark and gloomy. And I thought about Sister Maxine. That's a depression. That's a grave. That's a grave of death. There's no hope in depression. There's nothing good about depression. But you know, the devil can, sometimes we can find our place, ourselves, in those places, so to speak. But the Lord wants to call us out. He wants to give us a land. He has victory. He has places for us to overcome. And I'm thankful today that the Lord can do that. And He says, "Ye shall know that I am the Lord." You know, it's not something that we're going to do within our own ability and our own power. That's where all the bones, that's where all the bones were. The place of victory is the Lord will give us. He'll open up graves. He'll cause things to start together, to come together in our mind and in our heart and our spirit. And He'll show us the way. You know, we won't have to be scattered. We won't have to, all of our parts being separated and cut off. The devil wants to do that. He wants to divide and separate. But the Lord wants us to come together and bone to bone. And then the sinews came and life. He prophesied to the wind and life came. And I'm thankful so much for this vision that God gave to Ezekiel. I want to look at another scripture in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. On the way, let's get 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. It says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Now the helmet, he mentioned, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Hope. And that's what the helmet is, it's protecting the mind, it's where the eyes are at, the perception. And I believe the Lord wants us to have a hopeful attitude, a hopeful spirit. By the grace of God, by the Lord's help, by the mercy of the Lord, He wants us to have, He doesn't want us to give up on hope. He wants our minds to be encompassed with the hope of salvation in His help, in His deliverance, in His blessing. And I want to read a little bit more in Hebrews, I believe it's the 6th chapter. Hebrews 6 and verse 11. "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now it's going to take some faith and patience in our battles. It's going to take, and you mentioned here, "Be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, now, it almost looked like hope beyond hope, didn't it? Sarah said, I'm 90 years old. Am I going to have a child now? I'm 90 years old. God had promised them. He gave them His word. So their minds are thinking, you know, Hagar, we'll help God along in this process. We'll do it through Hagar, and Abraham will have a son. That's not what the Lord had in mind. That's not what He promised. But we have to have patience and faith also. Don't give up hope at the onset of battle. Don't give up hope when things are still looking in disarray. Continue to hope and have faith and patience. Sometimes we get in a big hurry. Especially, I feel like it's a weakness of our age, because we're so used to having things happen at once. And we can get impatient. But the Lord wants us to hold on. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Hasn't He promised us? Are we not the heirs a promise? Are we not heirs of faith? And it said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Now what does that mean? Strong consolation means comforted, strengthened, because we know it's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil. We heard about that anchor Wednesday night, didn't we? But the Lord wants us to have a hope in our heart, in our spirit. Let's not allow the enemy. I know we can look and see all the dry bones. Folks are all around us. Everywhere you look, you can see dry bones. Every turn, there's dry bones that we can see in our day, in our age, in our time. Can these bones live? Can these circumstances change? Can these situations change? Prophesy unto them. Son of man, prophesy the word of the Lord, the promises. We are heirs. We have a strong consolation that God cannot lie. And God wants us to be hopeful this morning. And I pray this morning that all of us have a hopeful heart, a hopeful helmet, where our mind is protected, our thoughts are protected by hope. That we have hope that the Lord is able to help us and to strengthen us and to be with us. Anyway, I want us to be encouraged and have that hope and know that the Lord has what we have. Sometimes we have to dig. Sometimes we have to get down and call upon the Lord. But the Lord has. He's able to bring these things together. And I thank Him for it. It's only God. That's only the Lord that can do that. But little by little, things started happening. Things started changing. A little bit of movement. Brother Galen mentioned that little needle moving. It can move. You know, we don't always see what God is doing on the inside of a person. But let's hope. Let's have hope to keep praying and to lay hold upon the promises that He's given to us. And I believe the Lord will bless us and be there. And He said, "When I have brought you out of your grave, ye shall know that I am the Lord." Isn't that beautiful? You'll know that it was God that did it. Because you couldn't do it. And all of your efforts, you couldn't do it. But God could. I appreciate your prayers this morning. Pray for me.